Good morning and happy Mother's Day. And Jeff's out of town right now. He'll be back next week, so we'll just keep him lifted up as him and Trista are out of town and just getting a little bit of rest. But as we celebrate Mother's Day this morning, I want to take a look at Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, because she gives us the example of what it means to be a Christian mother with her devotion and realizing what God has done for her. But to kind of set it up, I want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and just kind of set the scene a little bit for us. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "As she continued to pray before the Lord, Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said, 'How long are you going to be drunk? Put away your wine.' But Hannah answered, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out my greatest anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him.' And she said, 'Let your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then the woman went away and ate. Her face was no longer sad." She has been praying for something. She was praying for a child. She could not have a child. And then the Lord, if you read later on, the Lord grants that request. But in that petition that she made, she says that when he's of an age, I'm turning him over to the Lord. We can see that Hannah is an example of the devotion of a Christian mother. In the prayer she offered when she dedicated her son to the Lord, we can see the devotion of a Christian mother. Can you imagine giving up your child, the child that you've longed for and prayed for and finally gotten? Imagine yourself in that situation, and then while your son was still a small child, giving him up. She was giving him to the Lord, but she was still having to give him up at a very, very young age. The only way Hannah was able to fulfill that, to do that and fulfill her promise, was she showed the devotion of a Christian woman. This is evident in the prayer she prayed, and her prayer will show five qualities of her devotion to God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like you, Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are broken, the feeble bind in strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit the seat of honor. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces against them. He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.' Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy began ministering. And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest." Let's open up in prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the mothers that have been placed in all of our lives, Lord. And just I pray that you give them a special day today, Lord. Be with those mothers that may have lost children. Just give them the peace and comfort that you can give, Lord. Just as we dig into your word this morning, let us just put away the distractions of the week and focus on on you this morning, Lord. Just prepare our hearts and mind to receive your word. In your precious name, amen. One of the very first things we will see here is that Hannah recognizes the Lord's salvation. Salvation is deliverance from danger or suffering, and to save is to deliver or protect. The word carries the idea of victory, health, or preservation. Sometimes the Bible uses words saved or salvation to refer to a temporal, physical deliverance, such as when Paul was in prison and he was delivered from that prison. More often, the word of salvation concerns an eternal or spiritual deliverance. As mothers, you can do everything in the world for your children. You can care for them. You can nurture them, feed them, dress them, bandage them, love them, and care for them. But if you don't recognize the Lord's salvation in your life, then we're setting up our kids for failure. As mothers, the most important thing that you can do for your children is to show them what God has done and is doing in your life. And when the time comes, be ready to share with them what he has done, and give the kids the tools that they will need to develop that relationship with God. Hannah recognized her Savior. She said her heart rejoiced in him. But we can't rejoice in someone that we don't know. We can't rejoice in someone we don't want to have anything to do with. We can't rejoice in someone you only want to talk to when you're in trouble or you want something from him. If we're not developing a relationship with God and digging into it, then, you know, we're going to just, it's going to be a time that, you know, we're not going to know what to do. We can't just go to God when we're in trouble. You know, we can't just run to him when things get tough. We need to be there in the good times and in the bad times. And as parents, we need to be able to do that no matter what, no matter what's going on with our children. You know, if they're walking away from the Lord a little bit, that's when we need to be in prayer, praying for them, that we would be the tool, or that God would bring people into their lives that would be that instrument to open their heart. And when those conversations come, take that little bit of time and have those conversations with the kids. But when that door shuts, just stop, because we don't want to push too hard and push them away if they're going through a struggle like that. You know, she rejoiced in the Lord's company, in his fellowship, in his salvation. She trusted him for everything. Are we trusting the Lord for everything? Are we just kind of, you know, waiting? I'll trust him in this area or that area. We need to give everything. We need to trust him in everything, in every corner, every aspect of our life. When she said her horn is exalted, the Lord, exalted the Lord, as we've talked about, the horn is a symbol of power, of strength and power. She recognized that her strength came from the Lord, not from herself. We can't do it by ourselves. We can try to get through life on our own. We're just not going to get there. You may get a little bit, but at some point we're going to fail. She recognized that her strength came from the Lord. He gave her strength to endure and overcome the trials in her life. He was her salvation. Psalms 3, verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessings be on your people. Acts 4, 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. There is no one else on this earth that we can put our, you know, we can put our trust and faith in anything else. They're going to fail us. They're going to let us down. We put our faith in God and our trust in him and let him be our Savior to protect us. That's where we need to put it in, put our trust in him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Again, we can't do it on our own. You know, you can find all the self-help books that aren't really self-help books. We can do, you know, we can go to anybody we want, but if we're not going to God and putting our trust in him, we can't be the parents that God has called us to be. The next thing we see is that she recognized the Lord's holiness. And that's in verse 2. It says, there's none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Hannah saw that God was holy. What does it mean that God is holy? Verses like 1 Samuel 2:2 and Isaiah 6:3 are just two of the examples of passages about God's holiness. Again, 2 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no other rock like our God. There's no other strength or foundation that we should be building our lives on and our family lives on except the foundation of the Lord. Isaiah 6:3, and the one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world, the whole earth is full of his glory. When we look around at everything around us, do we look at it as something that is holy, that God created it? Another way to say it is absolute perfection. God is perfection. He's the only one that can be perfect. He's the only example that we can look to for that. He is like no other. His very being is completely absent of any sin. He is high above any other, and no one can compare to him. We can try to take whoever we want and put them on a pedestal, but they'll come nowhere near to what God has done for us. You can put whoever you want on that pedestal. They're going to fail you. They're going to let you down. God won't do that. God's holiness penetrates his entire being and shapes all of his attributes. His love is a holy love. His mercy is a holy mercy. Even his anger and wrath are holy anger and holy wrath. She saw that no one could compare to him, even her child. Moms, do you worship your children? Do you sometimes elevate their position above God? As Christian mothers, you should worship God and God alone. We can love our children, and we can do everything for them, but we don't need to put them higher than God, above God. She worships God and loves her children, not the other way around. We shouldn't worship our kid and love God. We need to worship God and love our children. Hannah recognized God as her rock, her foundation. She worships God and loves her children. She understands that he is faithful and steadfast. As a matter of fact, he's the only one who is always faithful and steadfast. There's no one else in this world completely as faithful as God. Everyone we know will disappoint us at some time, but God is always faithful. He will never disappoint us. And no one is a rock like God is. You know, we can look back in the New Testament when he had the two builders. One built his house on the sand, the other builder built his house on the rock. When the storms and troubles of life came, the one that was built on the sand didn't stand it very long. It collapsed. But if we're building our foundation on the Lord, when the storms and troubles, whatever we face in life, our homes won't collapse because we know that we can go back and trust God that he is holy and he will do what he will say. Deuteronomy 3:16, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what we're going through, God's going to be there. Your family may leave you, your friends may leave you because of what you're going through, but God will never, never leave you. He is there with you through the thick and through the thin. Hannah recognized that God was the only rock who was strong enough for her to hold on to as she gave up her child to serve him. She could have put she could have tried to use the priest, her husband, her other people to be that rock. But at some point, they would have let her down. She knew that she had to hold on to Christ, hold on to God, because he is that solid foundation. The next thing that she does, she recognized the Lord's authority. 2 Samuel 2, verses 3 through 5 says, talk no more so very proudly. Let not your arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are broken, and the feeble bind in strength. And those who are full have hired themselves for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. She knew that that God's bigger than anything else that she could face around her. God has authority over all situations of our lives. In her prayer that I just read, you can see some of those contrasts of the way God's authority humbles the proud and lifts up the humble. Again, you know, talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him the actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are broken. The strong are put down. The feeble are bound in strength. Those that were full will hire themselves for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren bore seven. The child, you know, but she has many is forlorn. So she's laying out those contrasts of what God's authority can do, what his strength can do. She knew that she could not take pride in Samuel. Do sometimes we take pride in our kids and kind of, again, put them up there on that pedestal? But he was a gift from God, and she was simply returning him, was simply returning him back to God. When we have our kids, are we giving them to God? Are we letting him be, turning them over to him and let God work in their lives? Do you seek self-worth in your children? We talk about our kids as their pride and joy, but is that right? Not if they take God's place in our lives. God is supreme. Verse 3 says, by him all actions are weighed. Everything that happens, God is in control of. God is a standard, and no one will stand in arrogance before him. If you seek your self-worth in God's authority, he will be exalted. He will give us strength. He will fulfill. But if we start looking at ourselves for that worth, that's when we're going to start failing and falling and causing issues. Hannah recognized the Lord's authority in her life. She knew that God was the one that was in control. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's coming out of the Great Commission. When he sent them out, all authority comes from God. And in Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. He is the authority over everything that we can think of. There is nothing else that's above him. She recognizes the Lord's sovereignty. If we look up in the dictionary, you'll find the definition of sovereign to be something along the lines of supreme power or authority. While finding a concise biblical definition is difficult, but most of us would say that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign means God is God. He has supreme power and authority over everything. God is described in the Bible as all-powerful, all-knowing, outside of time, and responsible for the creation of everything. When we look at everything that's around us, it's been created by God. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. These divine traits set the boundaries for God's sovereign control in the universe, which is to say that nothing in the universe occurs without God's permission. Everything that that goes on, God is over that. He has control over those situations. Now, we may try to do things on our own, and that's when we're going to have those problems. But Hannah put her immediate circumstances in the context of God's all-powerful sovereignty. She took her situation, she laid it down at God's feet and said, this is yours, Lord. Your will be done. Was she sad to give up her son? Of course. But she recognized the fact that God is all-powerful and, again, and in control. He has control over life and death. He is the one who has given her Samuel in the first place. Everything in the universe belongs to God. He created it. and he can do with it as he pleases. We know that what pleases him is glory. Is his glory. When we recognize God's sovereignty means that God is in control and is actively working all things together for good to them who love him and are the ones called to according to his purpose. Life and death don't surprise him. Anything that we have or are going to be going through doesn't surprise him. He knows, he can look at our timeline from beginning to end, and he knows what's going to happen. In my life, he knew that there was going to be a lady that would be my birth mother who couldn't take care of me. But she made the choice to give me up, and that allowed me to be placed into the home I was in with a godly parents. And having the opportunity to meet her and be able to tell her that was great for me. But God knew all that was going to happen. He knew that whole timeline from when I was born, before I was born until I met her 2 years ago. He knew all that was going to happen. He laid all that out. He knew all that. Hannah recognized that nothing that she was going through surprised God, because he's in control. He is sovereign. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 and 12, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. And the fifth quality is she recognized that the Lord provides. Hannah knew the Lord's salvation. She saw God standing high and lifted up. He had no competition in her life. She placed him first in her life. Are we placing God first in our lives? Are we placing other things above God? God was supreme and sovereign to her. She knew that he was in complete control of all the circumstances and every area of her life. And because of that, she knew that God would supply all her needs according to his will. She knew that in and of itself, her strength wasn't sufficient, but God was. God would do what he had promised to do and promised to supply all his children's needs according to his will, not our wants. How many times we want things that, this is what I want, this is what I want. I want to do this, I want to do that, but is it what God wants? Is it according to God's will? Are we getting into scripture to find out what God's will is for our lives? You know, how many times when you go through something and the money's tight or we're just struggling, but when you get through it, you can look back and see that where God provided every step of the way. You know, when you're going through a time where, you know, for me, I went to retirement, but they can't start that retirement until after I was done. So it took 7-8 months. So you go from making a certain amount of money, now you've lost all that income. How do I get through those? That's where we had to be faithful and rely on God. We never went hungry. We had a place over our head. We had something to drive. But we put our faith in God and knew that he would provide for us. And that's where we have to be faithful to him and recognize that his authority. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we see that Jesus teaches his disciples to ask for provision, and our dependence on God is affirmed each time we pray, give us this day our daily bread. In Matthew 6:24-25, Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about food or clothing. God knows our needs. He desires a relationship with us, and that involves trusting him to meet our daily requirement and seeking him first, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Are we seeking him first? Are we going to him with our needs? Many passages we will talk about God's provision is related to our need for food and clothing and the daily stuff and the physical needs. But others refer to the needs of our soul and our spirit. He provides us with peace and comfort, power, love, and self-discipline. We need to be seeking him, going to him, asking him to provide those things for us. In whatever situation that we find ourselves in, we can be content in the Lord. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Luke 12:24 says, "Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouses nor barn, yet the God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than birds?" Matthew 6:31 through 32 says, "Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." And I think I want to look at some attributes this morning too, because mothers are often characterized in so many ways based on external beauty, wealth, accomplishments, or whatever standards the world lays out, sometimes sets out there for us. But most important, the quality of a mother is godliness. That doesn't mean that she is perfect, but she has a quality that serves as an important role model for her children. No woman, we will never be able to completely express every single one of these attributes, but the ideal mother is one who's striving to grow in each one of these areas. The first one, she prays and reads the words of God. This is not something that she does when she feels like it, but it's something that's a habit of her life. She believes in Scripture and knows its instructions will help her to become the better wife and mother. In fact, prayer and Bible reading affect every area of her life, and through her conversations, character, and conduct are rooted in the Word of God, and her children are a reflection of this. Are we making our time in the Word? Are we spending time in God's Word, getting to know Him every day? Are we diving into Him and knowing what He is, so that when we have our conversation with everyone, it just pours out of us? The next one is she has learned to trust God for every need. Because she is praying, reading, and studying Scripture, she comes to know and trust God's promises. She is confident that He will meet her needs and the needs of her family, whether physical, material, emotional. Instead of focusing on what she lacks, she speaks of God's contentment in her life and is thankful whether He provides much or little. And with some of these, you can see where, if we look back to Hannah with the first one, you know, she was praying, she was talking to God constantly. It was part of her daily life. She also learned to trust God. And the next one is she is generous. Hannah was generous and gave back what God had given to her. She gave God back that son. Even if she has little to share, she is willing to offer it to others. Sometimes her generosity comes in the form of encouragement. Her desire is to offer words that build up rather than tear down. By her example of generosity towards her family as well as to others, lays out a pattern for her children to follow. The next one, she is obedient to God. Obedience honors God and is beneficial for her as well as her family. Her goal is to obey the Lord and leave the outcome to Him. How many times we try to obey God, but we want to take control of what the outcome is. We want to try to manipulate those situations instead of giving it to God and let Him be the one that controls that situation and handles the outcome. She has no need to worry because she knows that the Lord can handle any situation that comes up. She brings all her cares, concerns to God and leaves them in His hands, not hers. Even when the troubles of life are serious, she can sleep without being troubled by anxious thoughts. A Christian mother is one who trusts and obeys God to give her home an atmosphere of freedom, welcome, love, because she is not consumed by worry. Are we letting those things of life just totally consume us by worrying us and totally taking over our lives that you may not be sleeping, you may not be doing the things you need to because you're so consumed with it? Take those and give them to God. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." She is forgiving, and that's essential for anyone who follows Jesus and is clearly taught throughout
the Bible. Those who refuse to give, those who refuse to forgive remain in stress and tension that soon overflow into the home. Forgiveness is vital, is a vital part of the family life because close relationships inevitably will result in misunderstanding and conflicts. How many times when we're dealing with stuff within our families, there's things that just start coming up and this person says something that maybe hurt you or offended you or you took the wrong way, and we don't try to resolve that. We just hold on to that, and then it starts creating that divide in the family. It could be with your kids. It could be with brothers and sisters, even your own mom and dad. But we let those things divide us, and then next thing you know, the family's tore apart. But sometimes we have to be the bigger person and go to them and say, hey, this is what happened. I forgive you. You know, and sometimes you just need to sit down and have a conversation and point out the things that you're seeing, and maybe you misunderstood it, but we have to be willing to forgive, because if not, it's going to just, it could destroy our families and our homes. However, living with a difficult person is no excuse for having an unforgiving spirit. Forgiveness can restore peace and eliminate stress and tension in the home. Furthermore, all believers are told in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If we're not going to people for forgiveness, it's gonna tear you up. It's gonna tear up everything around you. Instead of Christ coming out of you, that frustration and anger will start pouring out of you. And the next one is, she has an attitude of persistence. We saw, if you go through 1 Samuel 1, you'll see that Hannah was persistent in her prayer. She was praying to God all the time. When something needs to be accomplished, she knows what's required and keeps working until it is finished. Instead of waiting for someone else to do it, she jumps in and completes the task. Persistence applies to relationships as well as work. It's easy to stop communicating or walk away from difficulties in a relationship, but a godly woman doesn't give up. She keeps loving, even when things aren't going the way that she desires. Instead of giving in to the discouragement, she turns to God in prayer, asking Him for a pure heart and a forgiving spirit. I think we can see in a mother that has a young child or a baby, a great example of persistence, because no matter what time, how many times she gets up in the night to care for the child, she does it. No matter what that child needs, she's willing to do it and step in there and do it. God has placed within her heart of a mother a willingness to do whatever her child needs. And a godly mother faces life's demands without the fussing, nagging, groaning, complaining, or comparing her situations with other people's circumstances. She's determined to be the person God has called her to be. She is a servant. This is a quality that we should all have as Christians, because Jesus showed us that we need to serve others when he washed his disciples' feet. Here is the King, the Creator of the world, humbling himself down to that of a servant to wash his disciples' feet. And what Jeff's been talking about with worship and serving, they go hand in hand. So when you're serving, you're worshiping. That could be within your home, it could be within the church. But anytime you're serving God, you're worshiping Him. A mother with a servant's attitude doesn't live for herself, but for others. She serves her family in a variety of ways. Remember that she's following in Christ's footsteps. She doesn't seek a reward or serve only when it's convenient or when she feels like it. She understands that in serving her family, she is serving the Lord. She lives an orderly life. For family life to run smoothly, there must be some kind of organization. If not, it would be complete chaos, especially when you have kids in school and there's schedules to keep and tasks to get done. Without order in the family, there is confusion, frustration, anxiety, tension, and stress. Furthermore, an orderly life is something children need to learn to function as adults. If we have our kids growing up in a home that's complete chaos, when they go out into the world, that's how they're going to face everything that comes at them. It's just going to be, they're going to be in a turmoil. They're going to be anxious and stressed out. But if we start building those foundations when they are younger and keep developing those foundations, when they get out into the world, they'll have something to fall back onto. They can know that they can trust and rely on God through whatever life throws at them. That is why it's important to model it at home, because children need to pick up attitudes and habits from their parents. They need to develop these attributes. They need to develop these attributes that will build and enrich their lives. She's an encourager. Children need the encouragement of their parents so they will feel valued and loved. This begins early in life when the baby is held close and extends to including words of encouragement as a child grows. Sometimes this takes the form of challenging them to preserve and to do their best. Sometimes we have to make those things and pushes our kids outside their comfort zone so they can learn to be stronger. And the last one is her love is unconditional. Her love is not conditionally based on the behavior of her children or her husband, but is given without reservation. By her example, she shows her children how they can love at all times. As we get ready to close this morning, and I know sometimes Mother's Day can be hard because some people aren't blessed, don't have kids, they've lost their children. But you can still have an influence. Your kids may be growing out of the house, but there's a lot of young ladies and kids in this room this morning that maybe you don't have your kids, but how can you be an influence and a mentor to those within this church, in your circle of life? That way you can step up there and show them what it means to be a Christian mother or to be a Christian parent. You know, the Bible doesn't really say that every woman is called to be a mother, but even if you do not have the kids, there's ones that you can find to be an influence on. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take the responsibility seriously. Mothers have a unique and a critical role in the lives of their children. It's not a chore or an unpleasant task. Just as a mother bears her child during pregnancy, and just as a mother feeds and cares for her child during infancy, so mothers also play an ongoing role in the lives of their children. Whether they're adolescent, teenagers, young adults, or even adults with children of their own. While the role of motherhood must change and develop, the love, the care, the nurture, encouragement of a mother never ceases. And I close with Psalms 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So being parents, being mothers, being fathers, we're called to a serious task that we need to rely on God and trust him through everything. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all the mothers, Lord. We thank you for the influence they've had in our lives growing up. I pray if there's ones here again, Lord, that have maybe lost their children, or their children, they have a strained relationship with their children, Lord, that you would help restore those, give those that have lost their children the strength and peace and comfort, Lord, and help them to be an influence maybe on their grandchildren or other children, Lord, that the gifts that you give them, they could pass on to others. Help them to rely on you and trust in you in everything. I just, again, thank you for this time, Lord. Be with everyone that's here. I pray blessings over them. And I pray that they have a great week and a great day today. In your precious name, amen. Again, happy Mother's Day and have a great week.